All right, this is the City of Avondale Estates, Georgia Board of Mayor Commissioners work session. It is September 14th, 2022. It is now 6:40. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Do I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
So
no, go ahead.
Oh, that was D. Do I have a second?
Second.
That was Lionel. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right, item number three, bond anticipation note maturity extension. Mr. Manager?
Yeah, so as the board is aware, the city took out a bond anticipation note in 2019 for a three-year period. So given that knowledge, the maturity date of the bond anticipation note is set to expire or to come to fruition at the end of this year, which would necessitate potentially the issuance of the bond issue or the issuance of bonds to cover the debt incurred from the bond anticipation note. Because of various economic issues, you know, the current rate of interest, some unknown tax collection implications that we have discovered throughout the downtown, the fact that future interest rates are unknown. Doug and I started having discussions about whether there were other options available to the city in addition to going ahead and moving forward with the issuance of the bonds. So we researched several options. One, the bond issuance itself. Two, a reissuance of a three-year band note to cover, essentially to act as a new band for which bonds would be issued 3 years down the road, or a request to extend the maturity date of the existing band with our current lender, which is PNC Bank. So after Doug's research and discussions with PNC and discussions that we had with our bond counsel, Terry Finister, we arrived at essentially recommending a singular option for an extension of the band's maturity date. PNC provided us with two options for extension, a fixed rate option and a variable rate option. You may recall when we did the initial band, we discussed the difference between the fixed rates and the variable rates at that time. Essentially, the formula that they're offering us now for a variable term maturity extension of the band is better than the formula at which the band was initially offered to us. Now, for most of the entirety of the band period, we were in a very favorable interest rate climate that we are no longer in today. But the term is actually still more favorable than we initially anticipated. So I'm going to let Doug run through those numbers for you. But the crux of the matter is, if we were to issue bonds or to go with a fixed rate band maturity extension, we'd be paying a higher interest rate than we would by extending the maturity date of our interest only payment. And there is no prepayment penalty. So if we decided in the next year we wanted to start paying off that note as if we had issued bonds, we can do so without penalty. So essentially we have a one-year opportunity to pay it off at a lower interest rate than we otherwise would. And that's why I say it's a no-brainer. So Doug, take it away.
Thank you for the introduction, Patrick. I think great to be in front of you again today. Doug Gephardt with Davenport's the city's financial advisor. You covered a lot of the main points, but I think you know, a few additional things that I do want to point out. But through the extension of the band, as opposed to some of the other options, there, as you might have saw on the term sheet, there was still some undrawn balance amounts. Mm-hmm. So by leaving this mechanism in place, it allows the city to perhaps complete any of the projects at hand. So you're not paying interest on that amount that's drawn. So that's good. Or complete other projects that were authorized under original authorization. The other thing that it does allow it to do, it keeps that takeout note those long-term bonds, those documents are allowed to stay in place. So you're not having to go reaffirm any of the provisions, terms, and conditions that were originally agreed to as part of the Series 2019 bond anticipation note. So ultimately what this does, it buys us another year to go and finish all any of the projects, maximize that amount that was authorized, allows us to have some of the financial dominoes with all the activity that's coming in downtown to fall so that we have a better picture of the available revenue sources in the out years to minimize any potential impacts on the general fund or other sources of fund and any millage rate. So by knowing those, as those dominoes fall over the next 12 months or so, it'll help us be able to structure any long-term debt, as well as, as you're wrapping up the fiscal year 2021 audit, we'll have a better understanding of available strategic cash reserves, ARPA funds, things of that may be utilized for a strategic pay down of debt or things of that nature. So once that gets wrapped up, we'll have a good, holistic financial picture. So we're not putting the city in a 20-year long-term position as opposed to just waiting 12 months to do so. As Patrick mentioned, when the ban was originally issued, it was at a spread of LIBOR plus 79% of LIBOR plus 65 basis points or 0.65%. As you well know, you may or may not know, LIBOR went away at the end of 2021. So now they're replacing it with a benchmark called SOFR, which is the secured overnight financing rate. But instead of that interest rate being at a spread of 65, it's now 55. So we're paying 10 basis points lower than under the original proposal. Right now, if we were to, accept this term sheet today, that interest rate on the interest-only payments would be 2.36%. The SOFR is generally tied to the Fed. The Fed anticipated to raise rates. So, think that it'll move sort of in lockstep with that.
Is it 79% of the SOFR rate?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And could you repeat the interest rate if we closed on it now?
Right.
2.36,
but again, it's a variable rate. Okay. So as the Fed moves, the interest rate's going to fluctuate a little bit.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. How often does it reset?
Monthly. Yes, ma'am. And so ultimately, this is a way to minimize any of the cost of issuance, not having to recreate documents. There are... And sort of get through this volatile interest rate time that we're in, battling inflation and so forth. So ultimately, what the big picture schedule that we've envisioned going forward is that we bringing forth this term sheet to you today for your review and consideration for us to answer any questions, asking at your next meeting to authorize the execution of that term sheet, which will in turn allow us to begin that documentation process, bring the form of those documents at your first meeting in October with approval at the second meeting in October. So following in the normal lockstep of city business. As a reminder, ultimately the Urban Redevelopment Agency is the issuer of the bond. So we will need to have a meeting of the URA to officially approve their portion of the bond resolution in the city to guarantee that backing. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. But overall, I think this makes a lot of sense. You've got a copy of the term sheet. And again, excited. The park looks great. Hard to believe it was three years ago now, two kids and a few pounds ago. But here we are. And again, happy to answer any questions you may have.
I would just like to say, just in general, I think that us hiring an outside consultant like yourself was one of the smartest things we ever did, because I don't think we ever really knew where we were and how we could leverage that. Mm-hmm. And, if we'd not hired you guys, we wouldn't be standing here talking about a park. We'd be standing here talking about, I'm not sure what, but it wouldn't be that. So I appreciate what you've done and what you've done for us. I don't know what a lot of this means like Brian does, but if he's smiling and you're smiling, I'm probably okay. So anyway, but thank you for what you've done for the city. And I appreciate you coming to us to with another, you know, thing that helps us out. So it's not so eloquent, but thank you.
Yeah, no, I think it's a smart move to make. I mean, I think it does a couple of things for us. First, it extends the maturity. It still gives us access to the funds that we haven't used as we have more projects. If we decide to use it, we can. I think if we try to fix the bond rate right now, as Doug had said, rates have been increasing and getting higher. I think in a year's time, and again, if anyone ever tells you they know what rates are going to do, then you should run and run fast. But if we do enter into a recessionary period of time, you know, those rates could be down by that point in time, we could look at fixing long term. So I do think having the flexibility of having the additional year, having the flexibility to be able to have the proceeds if we need them, especially as we've got the project coming up with Complete Streets, and then being able to, without prepayment, either prepay when we have a clear picture when some of these other projects come into advance, and potentially hopefully have a lower long-term fixed rate. It could be higher, it could go both ways. You know, that it's the smart thing to do. I mean, the difficult thing is it's a floating rate. We've always been on a floating rate. That doesn't change. And, you know, those floating rates are getting higher. But it's 79% of SOFR at a 55 basis point spread. That's pretty low.
I'd say one thing I'll add, the fixed rate note that PNC offered for the term was 3.5%. So the equivalent Fed movement to get to that rate would be an additional 1.5% on their Fed rate movement. So they're expecting to do a potential 75 next week. So we would still be better off on this variable rate. So they can raise it an additional three quarters of a percent.
Yeah. That was my question and comment, was because I've spoken a little with Patrick about this, because it's all money makes me nervous. So is that we're still in a good spot, and that this, the interest rate for the foreseeable future, even if it goes up, is still within a spread that we considered when we were looking at affordability to handle this.
It's lower.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're still in a good position. Yeah.
If we were to go for a 20-year, you know, fixed rate, it'd probably be in the 4% range now. When we were originally considering it, authorized it up to 5.5%.
Right.
So we're still in a better
picture. Still in the spot that we were considering back when this was issued.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're not out of the norm. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, from an interest rate perspective,
to know.
You know, the pandemic really provided some assistance to us in terms of, you know, being able to better afford what we're doing.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to confirm that the fixed rate was 3.5%, and that is for 12 months, or?
Yeah, that was just for the 12-month period. Yeah.
And so depending on whatever it would be this time next year, it could be considerably more, considerably less.
Again.
As can happen with the variable.
Right? If I had a crystal ball, I wouldn't be here. I'd be on the beach somewhere. So you never know.
Well, remember this, Dee. That fixed rate is an interest-only rate on the band, whereas the bond issuance would be higher. So we don't anticipate doing another band maturity extension next year. So that fixed rate won't come into play. It'll just be the bond rate.
That's important too. So thank you for that clarification.
Yeah. So I guess it's not a good time to refinance my house, right? No, it's not.
Unless you borrowed in the 80s.
A couple of questions. And, you know, I agree with the mayor. Thank you for being here. You helped us accomplish a lot and really appreciate that. The 2.36, this rate is only going to apply to what we draw in the future, correct?
So that's the rate as of right now today.
Right.
Okay. So a month from now, after the Fed,
right,
it's going to change.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's what we're paying on what we've advanced. So we've got a little over 7.6 million that we've already borrowed against the fee.
Yeah.
7.2. Okay.
Yep.
Whatever the million to less the four, so 7-2, yeah.
Right. And I think you may have answered this already, but I don't know that you have. If we execute this, assuming we do execute this, is this same mechanism going to be available to us next year if we decide to do something similar, or
that
is up to PNC, isn't it?
Yeah, that's subject to negotiation with the bank.
Okay.
We asked for potentially longer extensions, but a year is sort of what they wanted to do at this point.
Okay, sure. Thank you. No more questions. Really appreciate it.
Please.
Nope.
Right. No, so, I mean, I think it will come up again for discussion at the next meeting.
We will vote on it next meeting, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It would be up for consideration at the 28th meeting.
Yes. Consideration of approval of the term sheet.
Yeah.
Which will allow us to begin preparation.
Right.
Begin to preparation of the bond documents, so which will come out.
Which you will also have to authorize.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
So, all good?
Yes.
Yep. All right. Thank you. All right. Item number 4. Discussion of backdoor sanitation service, Mr. Manager.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. About a month ago, Public Works Director Marcel Jackson, had a very candid conversation with me about the need for me to better understand the impact on both the staff and the organization as a whole of our backdoor sanitation service. And he thought this, in addition to the comments that he made to me, which we have discussed at some length in the past as well, he wanted me to come, hear directly from the entirety of the Public Works Department staff. So a couple of weeks ago, we held a meeting, and everybody who was on duty that day attended that meeting, and everybody who attended that meeting participated in that meeting. And I heard stories directly from each of our staff members, stories that I had not heard before, very compelling stories, compelling arguments. And they had asked me if I would provide them the opportunity to let you hear directly from them as well. I think it's important first and foremost for Marcel to kind of do for y'all what he did for me, mm-hmm. And kind of explain, where he's coming from and where the department's coming from a holistic level. And then we would like to give the opportunity to our other two public works supervisors, Don Huff, who is the sanitation supervisor, and Adrian Langston, who is the green space supervisor, as well as three other staff members to provide you with, some stories and experiences that they've had providing sanitation service here in the city of Avondale Estates. So, Marcel.
Good evening, Mayor. Good evening, Board. First, I'd like to say thank you guys for allowing us to come out and speak today about this very sensitive issue as far as backdoor services are concerned. I'm going to share a little bit about me as far as my experience. I have over 30 years of experience in public works and local government. I started out when I was 16 years old. And as I've been doing this for a very long time, 16 years as a public works director, I served at the city of Montezuma, Georgia. I have over 300 hours of professional development and public works through the university system of Georgia. All right, as I stated earlier, I started as a field guy in the early 90s with the city of Montezuma, performing backdoor garbage services and other public works related functions. I have firsthand knowledge with backdoor experience. Like I said, I went off to college, but I often return home during the summers to continue my public works career path. I worked my way up through the ranks to become the director of public works. As I mentioned earlier, I worked in environments with backdoor. I've seen the transition from handling backdoor pickup to curbside in the city of Montezuma. I was out there actually doing the work, doing the backdoor services and all of that. And it became kind of labor intensive and all that. So there was a lot of things that was going on, a lot of moving parts to that thing. So the transition was made, the motions were made for us to go away from backdoor to curbside, okay? It wasn't an easy change, by no stretch of the imagination. It wasn't an easy change. Citizens were used to it. They were very used to the backdoor service, and it was much drawback. We had a lot of bickering going on in our community. That when I was real young, but I can remember that vividly. So as the city and department mission were eventually accepted by the citizens, they once saw and they understood and began to see the bigger picture to things. So moving from backdoor pickup to curbside was not only beneficial for the city, but it was also beneficial for the workers as well. All right, fast forward, the Avondale experience. I'm here now. So it's been a lot of growing pains, a lot of challenges. Ain't nothing I hadn't seen before, but it's quite different here. The culture is quite different. We have been through many growing pains and challenges since I've been here. Backdoor garbage collection was one of the biggest challenges by far since I've been here. I will often discuss this with Patrick Bailey. I discussed it with Paul when he was here. It was tough just hearing my guys, the frustration when they come in my office every day about the day-to-day operation of how things been going. And it was like, we never had anybody to listen to us. We never had anybody to step up to voice our concerns. So it was something personal to me because I've been through this, I've seen it. And just to see those guys, the frustration on their faces, and I got an impeccable staff. I'm telling you, I got one of the top-notch staffs in this state, I believe, that I can put up against anybody right now. And with my leadership, they have bought in. The culture's changing. It's changed a whole lot. I'm very proud of what they have done so far. We're continuously working through and trying to do the best job we can to render services to the citizens of Avondale. I love Avondale, okay? I'm not from here, but I'm here now, so I'm from Avondale, okay? Yay. So I like it, okay? Like I said, it's been growing pains, it's been frustrations and all that, but some kind of way it get tough, but we always manage, you know, to find our way through. They always come through for me. They bicker a lot, they do this and do that, but when push comes to shove, they're going to do what they need to do. So I'm grateful to have a crew like that. Avondale, it attracted me to Avondale. It has a lot of potential for growth. I like challenges. Patrick interviewed me. I read news articles about the perception of this place and all this kind of stuff like that, but I'm up for the challenge. So as I got here, it was kind of hard. It was very hard. It was different because you have to go in and clean up somebody else's stuff, not blaming whoever was before me or whatever like that. I'm here now, so it's my problem. So I take ownership to that. I just want to be a part of this change in Avondale. I see the good things happening. We got some not so good things here, but it's a lot of good stuff going on. So I'm very elated to be here to speak before you guys today about my experience here. But on a positive note, what I want to do, one of my biggest investment and changes that I made since arriving here was the purchase of that knuckleboom loader, okay? Which was increased efficiency in the way we pick up heavier debris, the special pickup items. It also have improved the staff morale, less injuries, simply because of all the heavy lifting is going away. I had my guy right here, DeMarcus. He was anticipating quitting. Had a lot of guys just wanted to walk out. They was tired. They was frustrated. Just give me a chance. So they would come by the office. I mean, you could see the frustration in the face. The morale was down completely. So I encouraged him, just stick with me. Got that knuckleboom, got him trained up on it. You can't get him out of it. Sean can't get him out of it. They love it. And And there was some drawback. I had emails, nasty emails, phone calls about why did we purchase that? Why did we do this? Why did we do that? But I seen the bigger picture. I'm 5-6 years down the road. I'm not right here. I'm on down the road. So we got that and we demonstrated that thing. And never forget, I think I took Sean or somebody out there and the lady actually seen it, the one that was complaining. I don't call names, I paint the picture. So when she saw that truck and she seen what it did, because we've been having storms, trees down, this and that happening or whatever, they used to have to pick that stuff up and manually just put it on trucks. And I'm like, no. I said, I can't get rid of the back door, but I can fight for that truck. That's gonna be my starting point with that truck. So I want to appreciate and thank the mayor and the board for believing in me and trusting in me to make that investment for him. I really, really appreciate that. But back to the back door pickup at hand. My sanitation guy, Don Huff, that's one of the most strictest disciplinarian guys that I got. He's good. He holds people accountable. He's my right-hand man. Adrian is my right-hand man. We're all over my right-hand man. They're good to me. And I'm going to let him come up and give you a more play-by-play run-through about the cultural experiences that has been going on during his tenure before I got here. So without further ado, I'll let you let Don address you guys. And I'll be back later towards the end to wrap up. Any questions you have for me, I'll be happy to entertain them.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
First, good evening, Mayor, Commissioners, and other guests. First, let me take the opportunity to thank y'all for allowing our voices to be heard this evening. My name is Don Huff. I've served as sanitation manager with Public Works for the past 4 years. One of the first concerns brought to my attention by the associates was about the backdoor service. And I quote, the associate stated that it's demeaning, degrading, and although we work with garbage, we're not garbage. Walking in extreme heat, cold, and other inclement weather conditions. Now, safety is my utmost concern for the staff. My three pet peeves when we bring new people in is come to work on time, be safe out there in the job, and go home. That's all I ask of the guys, and I'll say they do that daily. In my tenure here, I've encountered close interactions with unrestrained pets, resulting in 3 dog attacks with bites, close calls with raccoons, possums, and other rodents in trash cans. Unsecured open garbage exposes us to maggots, roaches, dog poop, uncapped needles, and other safety hazards. And also the liability to the city with the associates walking up driveways, through car porches, to get to the backyard with the containers. Sometimes stepping off into potholes, walking down inclines or hills, twisting ankles. Causing injuries to the workers, as well as to the homeowner, who states that associates scratch their vehicles with the containers or throw away items in the trash can that later I get a call and said, well, it was something we was holding on to. It wasn't trash, but it was there with the trash. And now to not so exciting part. And associates being hosed down with water holding by residents, scorned and poked in the chest, told not to cross over in my yard or simply just stay out of my yard. Lately with the shortages, I've filled in as a driver, as well as a route worker, And I've observed in some of the neighborhoods that the residents, some of them, will bring the garbage out when they hit the truck. And it should be out by 7 a.m. so we could do our job efficient. These are just a few complaints that we manage through daily. Now, in closing, if the garbage was placed on the curb by 7 a.m., this would reduce 95% of the missed garbage complaints. It would minimize the interactions between the associates, unpleasant ones with the residents. It would eliminate the liability risk to the city, homeowners, and the associates being on the private property. This would help us be more efficient in our duties, increase the morale and retention of our staff. We enjoy working here in the city. We're just asking for a little help. Again, thank you, Mayor, commissioners, guests, for listening. At this time, I would like to bring up DeMarcus. He's going to speak into some of his incidents here with the city. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Hey, how y'all doing? Thank y'all for having us up here to speak and listen to us. My name is DeMarcus Jones. I've been working for the city of Avondale for 16 years. With this time, I have some unpleasant encounters with some of the residents. These things happen all the time. I was training a new guy in the garbage truck, showing him the route. We pulled up to the house, one of the resident house, and the new guy went to one side of the driveway to get the garbage, but the garbage was on the other side. I got up to show him. She came out of the house and physically poked me in the chest and told me I was doing a bad job of training my people. I knew her for a minute and thought she was playing. I was surprised and shocked. Is she serious? Then I just stared at that time and just got my truck and just drove off. Another time I was verbally disrespected by a resident because of miscommunication. She was informed one other guy that she did want anyone in the yard to get her garbage. I was unaware of the incident. She was aggressive and disrespectful. That was one incident. And the last incident, one of the other incidents was, there was a house on Lakeshore that had a rock rider that was short of an aggressive. They bust the window trying to attack one of the guys who were at the back door getting garbage. So that's another one. And like Ms. Marcel said, I have been on the back of the truck and I was in the back of the truck too as well. I got my CDLs from driving a knuckle truck, but I was at a low spot thinking about quitting. I stuck with it, but I seen a lot of guys come and go because of kind of accidents that you're hearing about tonight. Not everyone can drive the truck. You need guys on the back too. So that's about it. Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you,
Marcus.
Thank you for being here.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Willie Kinshawn. I want to thank y'all for hearing our voices and letting me speak. I had an encounter out here on the day-to-day job, you know, and the requirements that we face, the challenges we face, and the things that we face every day. So I'd like to give you a run through of one of the encounters I had was out on the route. I was surprised attacked from behind by a resident's dog. This resident's house, the gate, the backyard gate wasn't secure. And as I was coming up to get the garbage, I got snuck attacked by a dog, got bit on the forearm. And the resident, as I was approaching, I seen two residents in the front garage. And by seeing them, you know, I felt no worries, you know what I mean? But I didn't know it was a dog loose. And he came out that open gate and got hold to me. So in my defense, you know what I'm saying, my defense mechanisms, I turned on the dog because I'd rather face you than run from you. Long story short, the resident came over and he asked me, you know, because he heard the commotion, he came up and asked me, did my dog bite you? And I told him, yeah, and I showed him the injury. Well, later on, after I had told my supervisor and notified them, you know, with protocol and everything that goes on, when reinforcements came in and one of the local authorities arrived, the resident got hostile with me. And his claim was that since he didn't see the dog attack me, that maybe what his dog that bit me. There's no other dogs in this area. You know, so my deal is the hazards and the apprehension that we face every day going and doing these backyard services. You know what I mean? You never know what you're going to encounter. And then when you do face a challenge, you never know how the homeowner is going to treat you and react to you, because this man basically, you know, was pitting me to be a liar and pitted against me when fact is he actually gave me an apology when he asked me if I was bitten by his dog. And I told him yes and showed him the injury. You know, he was apologetic, you know what I mean? But then by the time, you know, reports was made, things got flipped on another head and it got a little heated between me and him. And the officer had to ask me to leave his property. You know, we in the front yard giving up, you know, laying this all out and hashing it all out. But when it got heated between me and him and he got to feeling some type of way and I got to feeling some type of way, I was asked to, you know, leave the property, step to the side, let the property be, you know, hash this thing out. So like I say, safety is the biggest thing that you want to feel in these backyard, you know what I'm saying, services. You want to be able to, I want to be able to do my job efficiently, safely, you know what I'm saying, and be treated and treat people with the utmost respect and, you know, just come here, get the job done, return home safely, enjoy my day, you know what I mean? So later on down the line, I was bit again by another dog out on the route doing my job. So, all these things, you know, we face not only the weather and the elements and going up these long driveways and the rough terrain, you know, finding the best route in walking, pushing and pulling barrels to get the job done, we face a lot of challenges. It wear and tears on the mind, the body, and the spirit. So that's when you get the low morale. That's when you get the frustration. You know what I mean? And that's when, you know, find ourselves really wanting to go to the higher ups, like, man, can y'all help us? You know, give a little something. You know what I mean? If the cans was on the curb, it would free up so much time because we could do it faster, efficient. It'd be less confrontation or any room for confrontation with animals or residents, people feeling some type of way, me feeling us some type of way, and even the guys I work with. You know what I'm saying? We all rowing the same boat. You know what I mean? Every day ain't sunshine, but every day ain't rain. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm now at the point where I'm pursuing my CDL because I'd rather be a driver. You know what I'm saying? I'd like to get in that position of driving the truck. And, you know, it's going to make me feel more safe, more secure, and, you know, just like being in a better position, a better post. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I don't have no problem doing my job. I just want to be able to get it done and continue giving them what, you know, the desired effect. We're here to get your trash. We're here to do you a service. No harm, you know what I'm saying? No foul, but please help us. You know what I'm saying? Give us a little bit of something, because I give 120, and I know every guy and everybody that we work with, that I work with, I know this team. We out there and we getting it for.
Thank you.
And we do see it.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Tom.
Hello.
A lot of y'all know me. A lot of y'all probably don't. But I'm just going to start off by showing y'all this video. This is what I encountered, I think, like last week. I'm over in Avonwood. And I'm doing sanitation. And as I pull up in my truck, it's like three dogs running around in the yard. Mm-hmm. And it's a guy with the dogs. So I asked him, is this your house? And he say, no. I live three or four houses down the street, but these are my neighbor's dogs and they loose. He say, can you help me? So, of course, I helped him. get them to the backyard and lock them up. But this is just one thing daily that we go through. You didn't heard it, verbal. I've been verbally abused so much, I just shine it on. I could tell you names, people. I'm not here to do that. But as an older guy, I don't be wanting you to come up in my face cussing me. I'm not doing that but my job. But this is what happens pretty much on a daily basis. And to go in somebody's backyard, I don't drive a garbage truck. I drive a 550 pickup truck. Sometimes I'm on the garbage truck. But when you go up in a person's yard and all the trash is loose, you in a pickup truck, I'm going to dump this loose trash in my pickup truck and have to get it out of the pickup truck. You're not always getting a garbage truck. It just don't work that way. Mm-hmm. Some days, one man on a truck. Guess what? I put my boots on, old as I am, and go with them. But the backyard service is more of a hindrance than good, because you have so many situations and so many problems. And we always get lied on. I've watched people bring their trash out after the truck then went by. I'm a stormwater assistant. I do all kind of different jobs. But if I see the truck go by and you bring your trash out, I'm gonna come on and pick it up. But you're gonna call and say, we miss your trash. And that hurts. Mm-hmm. But again, if we can get away from that, it'll, like they say, make the morale better. We would also have more time to do more things. I wouldn't be getting pulled from stormwater. We wouldn't be pulling the green space people. You know, everybody would be able to do their jobs and then help other people in other departments, which we call cross-training. But we barely can get the garbage sometimes, so there's no room to cross train. But, you know, we do what we do, however we got to do it. When I started here, you walked from the shop to get garbage.
Did you really?
Today, we got Kubotas. You know, we got a knuckle truck. I mean, like they say, we used to have to pick up logs, metal, furniture, all that mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, it drained you. I've seen so many people come and go. I've seen people come and leave at lunch. I ain't doing this. Y'all going to people back out? Ain't doing it. But most of us then stuck with it because we believe change is coming. And that's all we're asking for. Help us, preserve us so we can stay here and do our jobs. But if you keep running us through them yards, one day it might not be nobody to pick up the trash. But again, if we can get the curbside service, then I could get help, my man could get help, and I believe we'll be a happier family. And on that note, I'm going to give it to Adrian.
Thank you, Tommy.
Thanks, Tommy. Good evening.
Hey,
good evening.
Adrian.
Hi, everyone. My name is Adrian. I'm the city's new green space manager. I grew up in unincorporated DeKalb, and I recall the mystique of exclusivity that surrounded Avondale Estates. When I was a kid, my parents told me I shouldn't bike to the lake because it was only for residents. The city has come a long way since then, and I am thrilled to be here with the city during this incredible transformative period. In the 3 months since I was hired, I've immersed myself in the Green Space Committee's assessments, our public tree survey, our inventory at Public Works, and leaned on residents and longtime Public Works employees to help me understand the community. We have 52 acres of public green space on 37 different sites, 16 miles of right-of-way, and more than 4,000 public trees to monitor for health and safety. I want to develop custom vision plans and maintenance calendars for every single individual site, an invasive species control calendar to reduce invasive plant density around the city, and a citywide street tree pruning schedule. I want to perform cross-training at Public Works so that all our staff can contribute when appropriate. Right now, the only thing I can do is plan. I have no clear path for implementation, and one of my biggest obstacles is backdoor pickup. We are a small town, and we run a lean operation out of necessity. When a short week comes up or we get a rash of callouts, it's all hands on deck to keep solid waste collection on time. Everyone at Public Works agrees on the necessity of this approach. Solid waste collection is critical to public health, and it has to be timely and efficient. Backdoor collection is a black hole that sucks in man hours that were supposed to go to my department. We have been impaired by this to the degree that not only were we not making improvements to public spaces, we are consistently trying to catch up on a backlog of basic upkeep. I came here with the intent to do detailed, thoughtful, intentional work where every long-lasting impact is considered from as many angles as possible. I couldn't be more excited to be here at this exact moment doing this work. And if you don't share my excitement, please come let me know so I can get you on board with me. But I cannot accomplish anything meaningful and lasting while backdoors are practiced. That's my board from the office. I'm going to take it back when I...
So start. Impressive.
Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, commissioners, for hearing us out. Of the task at hand is eliminating backdoor. As I stated, I came here to do a job. I'm here to do a job. I'm not here to win a popularity contest. I'm here to do a job. You hired me to do a job. You're paying me to do the job. I'm going to do the job. I'm not here to make friends. I'm not here to get into political stuff. I'm not here to get caught up in all of that. When I first came, the prior director, I had his phone. And to see all the text messages that was in his phone, how he ran to every call. Every time somebody called him, he's running. And I'm looking at all of this stuff. And when I came on board, I had that phone. And I guess they thought, I work for the citizens, okay? I work for the citizens of Avondale. I work for the commission. But we're going to do things in decency and order. We got a culture we got to try to change. I don't care what happened in Avondale 20, 30, 40 years ago. I don't care about that. I'm here now to help move the city forward. You understand what I'm saying? That's why I'm here. So I don't want it to seem like I'm coming here trying to take over this city or trying to take the city from the citizens. I love the citizens. They're good. I mean, I've had some bad encounters, but you can't punish everybody for a few people. So I don't believe in all of that. So the question that the thing at hand is risk and liability as far as going on private property. That's one of the biggest things, one of the biggest issues. Going on private property, because you never know. We're living in an age where we don't know what's going on. We don't know the mental capacity of people. And somebody might just be having a bad morning or a bad day, and one of my guys go up and down that driveway, something happens that I got to explain it to his wife or his children and all of that. All of those ramifications plays in my mind all the time. That's one thing I got. The second thing, we averaging like 50 call-outs per month. People are tired. I mean, they're tired. I hear they cry all the time. I tell Don, he don't have much hair. He about to scratch the rest of his hair he didn't have about his head. And I tell him, I seen it before, Don, just be patient with me. He was thinking about leaving. A lot of the guys were thinking about leaving. Some of them left. But I told them, you're going to regret it because I see what's going on. I see Patrick, Shannon, everybody working every day. I see it. I see the bigger picture. So I'm trying to tell my other guys that the ones that did stay with me, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Just one day at a time or whatever. So by putting it to the curve, and we can get it up in a timely manner, it will give my green space manager all more flexibility to do what he needs to do. Ellen is very good with the special events. She needs help. Okay, that'll free up time for us to be able to help Ellen. Roadside activity. We got changing that stop sign, pressure washing stop sign. We have so many different things to do in public works. We just can't get to them because of the garbage. Facility maintenance. The girls, the ladies will call from the office all the time. And when the ladies call, you got to go.
It's Gina, right?
Everybody, when they call, when the ladies call, you know, you got to move. So we try to move and try to explain it to them what we have going on, but we'd be so backlogged, and it's just frustrating every day to try to just to get a group of guys together to make the date. But some kind of way it all works together, and we get the day done. Another factor too, the trucks are not tearing up as much. We still having issues with trucks, but we're coming up with a maintenance plan to, we got some stuff I'm working on with the budget, to see can we try to figure out ways to be more efficient without buying bigger garbage trucks. We might can offset the cost and buy a couple of small trucks with some dump bins on, just the small things that we could do, versus spending $150,000 for a truck. And we can get two or three trucks, maybe four for the price of that. You know, City Avondale is not so big. So it's just the wear and tear on the guys' bodies. That's what's going on. So the benefits from this will be more modernized, okay? We'll be more efficient. We'll be more competitive in recruiting new staff. People that want to come to Avondale right now, people don't want to come, because of the way we do business as far as going behind the houses. But that's the only thing. Better help with staff retention, employee morale, okay? In closing, I look around the state when it comes to backdoor services, it really has become a thing of the past. I mean, a lot of times we don't want to let go things or whatever. They're sentimental and sacred to us. I understand. I get it. And the people that I talk to, like my colleagues or whatever, they just can't believe we operate in this way. Every time I sit down to the table to have a drink or two with them, or we're talking and eating, it's funny to them that we're going behind houses. I'm talking about, I'm the laughing stock of the table. So that's how y'all operate now in that bank. So it's kind of offensive to me, but we have a job to do. And I tell my guys, we signed up for this, okay? So let's keep pecking at it, keep pecking at it, and hopefully someone will hear our cry. The old practices are just not working. City Marietta just got out of it, about a couple of months ago, July. They was having the same issues, staff retention, morale, all of that stuff that we named that they talked about. They just went the curbside. I think it was about, like I said, back we talked about that. That was in July. My goal as your director is to make you aware, okay? I don't want you to feel like we're trying to take something. I'm showing you and I'm demonstrating to you what's gonna happen if we don't get this stuff to the curb. It's not gonna be about what the citizens want, because nobody's gonna go back there and get it, because we just not gonna have the bodies to do it. So I'm just bringing this down the pike, not trying to force anything on anybody, but just try to work with us. And I'm just trying to, you know, share as much knowledge as I can by bringing it to you guys. That's my job, to bring the good news and the bad news. I don't like to be a bearer of bad news, but at the end of the day, these things have to be talked about, because I got to deal with it every day. I'm getting it from the citizens right here. I'm getting it from my workers here. Me and Don and Adrian and everybody, Tommy, is right in the middle of all that. And it's like, how do we make this happen? So some days I go home, like, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but we got through the day. You know what I mean? So we do it one day at a time. I just want to tell you guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for considering us, and thank you for your time. And that's all I have. If you have any questions, I'd be glad to entertain them at this time.
Thank you.
On a sort of a, first of all, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, yes, all sir. You guys for being here and sharing your stories with us. And some of them are disheartening to hear. Concerning, makes me kind of sad.
Yes.
Makes me real sad, actually. how much time do you think we would save? And I don't know how, especially however you want, going to curbside. I mean, would that cut it in half?
Yeah, it would. What we would do. Hours or? Yeah, it would, because me and Patrick talked about it. I would say this is what I want to do. Where I came from, every citizen had a 96-gallon cart. We're doing two pickups a week, and sometimes some cities are not generating that much garbage. I really think this whole city can be done on a Monday, from Monday to the next Monday. That'll give us 4 days to do everything else in the city that we need to do. Fuel costs will go down. I can give you some more literature and data on it later once I get all the logistics of it together, but just being in this, I know it's going to save the city a lot of money. It's going to free up a lot of time for us to be able to do what we have to do. I can guarantee you that.
Can I make one comment real quick that Marcel pointed out to me that I was not really aware. I don't know why it didn't register with me. But y'all heard him say we average about 50 call outs a month. Yeah. So if we got 20 working days in a month, that's 2.5 call outs a day, which means we're pulling 2.5 guys off of the green space crew every single day to do sanitation. The green space crew is only 6 guys. So we're essentially cutting the crew in half every single day.
Yeah.
So when they say we can't get to our green space plan, like Adrian said, he can plan all day long, but we can't implement the plan. Yes. That's why. So we've talked about there's kind of two things to this puzzle, right? The reason people are calling out is because their bodies can't take it anymore. I mean, everybody's getting older. You know, DeMarcus is in his 30s, but he's been here for 16 years and he's got back and knee pain, right? So that, I mean, that's just kind of the typical, that's typical. You know, like Tommy said, I mean, there's adults in a really young man's game, so to speak, but regardless, you take that strain away, call outs drop. If call outs drop, then you get to fully staff the green space crew as it was intended. Not only that, if you were to expedite the time it takes to provide sanitation service, let's just say this, and this is a complete hypothetical. Right now, we do twice a week pickup, so it's 4 days. It's all day long that we're doing sanitation service. Let's just say we keep doing twice a week pickup, so it's 4 days a week. We won't even talk about one day for the point of this illustration. Yep. Now garbage collection's over at 11 instead of 3 or 4. Mm-hmm. So now we can take the sanitation crew and apply them to green space and roads and stormwater the whole remainder of the day. So now not only would we have a full green space staff, but we'd actually have excess to implement green space practices. And I, you know, Don and Marcel's number one complaint is miss sanitation or issues with pickups or sanitation related. My number one complaint in public works is, when are you going to take care of this shrubbery? When are you taking care of this tree? When are you going to take care of this grass? Yeah. When are you going to plant these flowers? When are you going to fix my curb? When are you going to fix my pothole? When are you going to, you know, when are you going to take care of the stormwater situation in my yard? I get that all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, we hired Adrian. We created the position because we knew it was a need. And now he's telling me 3 months in, I can't do my job the way we have public works. So, you know, if he can't do his job, then what was the point of hiring a green space manager to begin with? So that's the kind of stuff that resonated with me.
I got two more questions.
Yes, sir.
And just one thing to say. How many, I mean, you said you've gotten bit twice. I'm sorry, that's terrible. How many claims per year do you think we have related to backdoor services? Just that aspect of it. Not sort of the typical, medical? Oh, I stepped off the truck or I did, you know, but.
You just mean medical part?
Right. Just because you got to go on somebody's property, you got bit, you got.
I don't know the number. But I have to go back and look at, because we have, as soon as somebody get bit or anything like that, we have to make sure we report it to, so I got a file of that. I can't, I mean, it doesn't happen regularly, but it happens. It happens, but we never know when it's going to happen, you know, so.
And sometimes it goes unreported because guys are afraid that they'll lose their job if they file workers' comp or report. Or you know, get into it with a resident, stuff like that.
How long have you been here?
It'll be 2 years in November. 2 years.
How many guys have walked off, like you said?
I've lost. Much
because I don't want to do back to
service. At least about 8 to 10 since I've been here. And we're losing them to places like Chamblee. I know the public works director there. I know the director down here in Decatur. They recruiting right from up under me. And they giving them extra money because they know people are just tired of the back door. So it's easy to get good guys away from us because of the practices and things and how we operate. So, and it makes it hard to retain your staff especially when we're in the metro area and everything's competitive and people are paying. And I don't try to stop people from getting better. So if they have to better themselves, I'm always encouraging them to do better. I left my situation to do better. And then I encourage them, if I'm not giving you what you need or whatever you see fit to do and better yourself, I encourage you to do that. But at some point, I didn't come here to keep losing people. It started to be a management issue then. When you're looking at it, where you have to go home at night and you fighting with yourself. What did you do wrong, Marcel? What did you do wrong, Don? It's nothing that we did wrong. It's just the practices, the thing that we have in place that's allowing us to lose our people. We're losing good people. We're losing good people. We're losing talented people. I'm talking about the way we're heading now. This place is growing, man. I'm excited to be here. I don't see what everybody else see. Guys laughed at me when I came. They said, man, you're going into a hellhole. You don't know what you're about to experience up there. I said, well, I got God on my side. I'll figure it out, whatever we need to do. So I know public works. I love public works. If I'm not doing it here, I'll be doing it somewhere. I love public works. I love what I do. Patrick's real good about giving me resources, talking to me, encouraging me, you know, telling me not to get too down or whatever like that. Then I have to reciprocate the energy and give it to my guys because I need them. It's a trade-off. I need them, they need me. So I need them and I need you guys to try to see what you can do for us.
Again, I appreciate you being here.
Yes, sir.
And appreciate all you being here. Adrian, I think one of the proudest moments for me in our 7 years was when we changed the rules in the park so that you can come here anytime you want. And you don't have to feel like, well, I can't go there and ride my bike. I'm glad you can. But that, of all, we've done a lot, and I'm proud of it, but that may be the proudest. But anyway, but I'm glad you guys are here. Thank you for being here. I know that you probably felt like you've taken a little bit of a chance, and you're not, okay? I appreciate you being here and speaking to us and giving us firsthand, because that's what we need to hear, I think. So I'll shut up. I know you guys got stuff to say, so anyway.
I'll go next. Well, first, again, I just reiterate, John said, thank you guys for being here. I'll be the first one to admit I love backdoor service. But after hearing your stories tonight, you know, I won't use it personally anymore. Because the last thing I want anybody to feel is like they're not respected or appreciated for the stuff that they do for us, you know, and that's important to me. I do think it's important to have a conversation about it. I mean, anytime you look at considering changing services you're providing residents, we need to make sure that we have an honest conversation with residents around it and get impact. I do think that a couple of things that are important to me is, you know, first, I love that. You know, so I want, if that, I can't read that far away because I can only see with my glasses, I can't read with them. But if that's putting planning into green space and parks and taking care of those things, I want that, you know. And so if we need to allocate resources to that, I'm open to that. I think, you know, for us and our citizens understanding that
all the things that you guys do for the city outside of doing sanitation and parks and some of those other things, you know, so, you know, is important for folks to know. I'm open to also, you know, if we're going to have this conversation, we ought to talk about it. And we brought it up several times and we've discussed setting sanitation rates and in the past is one day versus 2 day, you know, because again, you know, we are a small city. We are limited in somewhat in our resources. We're trying to make sure that some of the equipment that you guys are using isn't as old and beat up as it used to be. And are we on a regular schedule to get new stuff, better trucks, you know, investing in, you know, the public works building over there. You know, we want guys to feel like they've got the resource they need to be successful at their jobs, you know, but if it's, hey, if we go to one day a week and we get 96 gallon gas, or gas, 96 gallon trash cans, and I can do it in one day and then Tuesday through Friday, here's what we can do. I think that's an important thing to be able to show residents because, you know, they want to see how does our green spaces look? You know, what does the apartment like? What does the lake look like? How the hedges look, which they look great, by the way. The hedges look fantastic. After we got killed for the way we slaughtered them before, you know, I think, but it, what you guys said was true. They look great. You know, it's been a year and a half and they look great. We've got a new park on board. And so making sure residents understand that it's our priority to take care of those things and giving you the guys the time and the tools to do it. I'm open to listening to that and doing it, you know, so I appreciate you being here, you know, and the things that you guys do. And I think, you know, it's time for us as we go into this new year, starting to build budgets and so forth to have this conversation. So I think it was timely too.
Lisa?
Yeah. Hi, y'all. I see so many of you guys when I'm out running and walking every day. So I feel like I know y'all. And I want to just say how much I appreciate the way you all do your job so professionally every day. I really do appreciate that. And we see it up here. We see it. And I know you know that neighbors and residents of Avondale Estates just love you. Marcel, thank you so much for your presentation and for everyone's comments. A couple of things that jumped out to me. One of the things that you said early on was this is not an easy change. You've seen it happen before. And somehow we need to communicate that big picture to the residents to make it more smooth and to make sure you guys don't take the brunt of any change that may happen. And just for the record, I, of course, am very open to making change as well, just like the mayor and Commissioner Fisher. And then something else that struck me was, you know, I can't remember. Oh, Willie maybe was saying, you know, you feel hazards and apprehension every day when you come to work and you need to feel safe. Everyone should feel safe at work. That's super important. Those are just some of the things that really struck home with me. And like I said, I'm open to discussing what's going to happen with backdoor pickup, how we might approach changing that, and anything else that you all want to talk about, such as one day. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes, so I too want to thank you. I mean, I've been in Avondale Estates now for 80 years, and one of the pleasures of being Avondale has been since 1980. I used to say that I could never be an elected official because I would mistake things. That is why. But yeah, so I've been here since 1980, and I have always appreciated the wonderful services that we have, and frankly, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody say that you guys don't do an awesome job. So I am, I'm really distressed to hear that there are people that give you that hard a time because in the years I've been here, it's been one of the high points of being in Avondale is that we appreciate the services that we have and the people that do them. I want to just commend you guys on what a professional presentation you've done tonight. I'm blown away. You know, it's so compelling on so many levels. It's factual, it's emotional. Y'all just, I want to give you a round of applause.
Okay.
So of course we're here to listen. And like I said, my knee-jerk reaction is, you know, that's not the Avondale way, but by golly, y'all have been very persuasive tonight. So thank you.
Thank you, Dee. Lotto?
Yeah. So I will echo my colleagues up here to thank you for the work that you do and your dedication to doing it. I don't know if it's my place or not, but I'd like to personally extend an apology to you for the mistreatment that you have experienced in doing this job. I don't know how you do it, because listening to the first thing that you talked about, the mistreatment, I would have walked. But I appreciate your dedication and your professionalism in staying here and doing the job anyway. I don't really have anything else to say. Thank you.
I echo Lyle's comments. I'm sorry for the things that have happened. You know, and I hope we as a city are evolving. I mean, not to get all pie in the sky, but I mean, cities are made of people. People evolve, people change. You know, cities evolve and change, and hopefully it's for the positive. And, you know, and if you're not taking a step back every once in a while and contemplating what's come before you, you're not going to make it forward very well. You know, you gotta constantly reevaluate. We all do it in our lives. We got to do it as a city. You know, are we doing this the best way? And I think what we have strived and what Patrick has strived with staff to do is constant improvement. You know, how can we make this better? How can we leave it better than we found it? It's one of my kind of mottos in life, you know. What I would like to propose is, can we get some, not that we, I want to put this on the next work session agenda, okay? Add this discussion again. I think it would probably be good to sort of quantify some of the stuff we're talking about. I don't think anybody here needs to have any extra case made, but I think it's always good to say we could save this much time. We're having this many days out. We're having this many injuries. We're having, you know, this would improve. You know, it's good to do that. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, I think as we've discussed this as a staff, you know, Marcel especially felt it was important just to tell the story tonight, not conflate that with, well, okay, what do we do next? Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, you know, it was important for that. And, but I think, you know, from our standpoint, just as we did with the sanitation RFPs to kind of show you guys the difference between contracting out and providing service in-house, we can do similar things by showing you, well, what is the cost of eliminating this? What is the benefit of eliminating it? And, you know, and just kind of give y'all information beyond what Dee pointed out, which is a big part of the puzzle, which is the emotional aspect, but give y'all some information so y'all can consider, you know, what we do next.
Would it be possible with that information, Patrick? I don't want to lose completely some of the feelings these guys have expressed about feeling demeaned or insulted or berated for how they're doing their job. Is it possible to add some anecdotal, absolutely, like they mentioned tonight, that we could also do that? That would be a good thing for our residents to see, I think, and it would help folks understand.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So just a
absolutely agree. And absolutely agree.
And, you know, I think, again, being able to say here, like take this board, say, these are the things, if we're able to, you know, because for me, when you say, hey, I'm doing sanitation 4 days a week, right? Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, mm-hmm, Friday, is that kind of what you're doing, mm-hmm, right now?
Yes.
Wednesday. And so, you know, hey, if that's, and it's taking me from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. to do it the way we're doing it right now, but I can do it in 2 days or 1 day or whatever we, you know, let's, mm-hmm, figure that out, and I can get it done. I can start at 7 and we can be done by 11, you know, and so I can take those man hours and we can deploy these into these things. And here's part of the, you know, the green space plan that would come along with that, that we'd have manpower to do. And so I think that, to me helps articulate, well, this is why, not only is it doing the right thing for you guys, but it's also, this is why it's better for the city and the residents. And we don't have to raise rates significantly because we need to add 15 or 20 more people to do this work. You know, we could take some of that responsibility on our own shoulders and, you know, and see the fruits of that. So I think those kind of things would help a whole lot for sure. And then how would we repurpose some of the equipment, like, you know, the Kubotas that we just did, like, how can we use that, you know, in other areas of the city that, not, you know.
Can you use a Kubota?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we can use the old mill to come in very handy for, like,
parks. I think we'll find.
Yeah.
And also, Kristen, I don't want to leave her out. That could be a mechanism for her to get through town, her and Tommy, because they do a lot of stuff with the stormwater department.
Yeah,
so we will be able to structure it. Mm-hmm. Right, with the resources we have, like I said, we're one or two pieces of equipment away from being great. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. It's just the back door. Okay. Once we get that rectified, that situation, the floodgates will open.
I know it's not my place, but I loved that idea about the smaller garbage trucks too.
Yeah, we're working on some budget.
I know that's y'all's and Patrick's
purview.
But.
All right. Well, and last thing I want to say, Marcel, I hope your friends are good enough. They stop making fun of you about backdoor service. They'll find something else to make fun of you about, right? They're not your friends.
It's all up.
Yeah.
Well, so I want to say one more
thing. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'd be really interested in seeing, you know, if you have them, numbers on, you know, folks calling out, you know, I mean, I don't need 3 years worth, just, you know, maybe 3 months. The other, I guess the other thing about this is, and I don't know, I guess this is a question for you, Patrick, would doing this have any impact on the insurance rates that we pay?
You know, I don't know the answer to that question specifically, but it's definitely something I can look into. I do know that our personal liability factors that in.
Okay.
So I don't know if there would be a premium reduction, but I can definitely ask.
Okay.
Well, if there's less claims, there would be less, but
yeah. Yeah. Specifically the guys are calling out because of sanitation. That would help. That would help too. Yeah. You know, if you get.
So once again, thank you for having the courage to stand here and mm-hmm. Tell us this. I really appreciate it. And, you know, thank you again for everything you do.
Thank you. And I want to challenge everybody, take your garbage to the street. Just start doing it. Me too. Yeah. I'm bad.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. Thanks again, guys. Anything to add?
No, just that I'm incredibly proud to lead this staff. And I'm glad that y'all provide an opportunity for our voices to be heard. It's incredibly important. I think, you know, from what I've heard from staff is that, you know, that alone is kind of, you know, the start of the culture change that we need here. Sorry, I'm kind of losing my train of thought just because I'm emotional about it. I'm very, very happy to lead this organization. I'm extremely proud of all of our management team, and I'm extremely proud of each and every staff member we have. I you know, y'all didn't hear from them tonight, but I want to introduce three other Public Works employees who are in attendance: Edward, Sean, and Steven. Edward's on our green space crew. Sean is kind of like the master utility player. He's done a little bit of everything. You know, on a day-to-day basis, we don't know what Sean's going to be doing, but he's always going to do. And Steven drives one of the Kubotas. So just really, really happy that they came and supported the rest of the department as they told the story.
And sat through this long meeting.
If it was the last meeting, it was like we were in and out in about 25 minutes.
So, yeah. So, all right. Thanks again. Now, we do have, we're going to not do executive session, but we do have public comment. So, yes, Bill.
I would also like to thank you for your service. One of the things I really appreciated about the Evandale Estates in the 8 years we've been here is that when we're out walking in the morning, we like to wave to people. And all you guys, when you're out there on your rounds, you wave back. We get a few friendly toots from the Kubota drivers, which we also appreciate. And I would also say, as walkers, seeing you guys out there on a pretty much daily basis, if not at least weekly, along with our police department, it actually makes us feel safer. And have appreciated all the pickups you've done. And I've also thought on my own, for our own the trash pickup, that it was really kind of a waste to see you guys walk up our driveway when we really only need 1 day a week pickup. But how are you going to know who needs it and who doesn't? And you're doing backyard for us, and how many others you're doing, and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And you could have been doing that, getting done and getting on the other stuff. So
yes,
we're putting our stuff down at the curb, and we'll continue to do that. Sure. And hopefully I would encourage the board and mayor to consider some changes. And I think that for the most part, I'm on board with any changes to get you not doing, backyard pickup. So thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
You had a question earlier?
Yes. I'm just, I'm taking, I've only been here a short number of years. I see most of you from time to time. Want to apologize. There's been a couple times in the past year where I was one of those. I didn't set it out the night before. I usually put it on the curb. When I run to catch up with you, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that. So sorry for that. I think about, this was about the garbage court, and also what you all are talking about. I think if the one, and I know you're going to do this in the work session, but I want to get it out while it's there. I think if what we heard tonight was communicated well, maybe street by street, I think of my street, Stratford. I do a walk. Usually I only see about half, only about half of our people are putting on the curb. And I'm talking about the whole street. There's only 6 people that really need, and they're elderly or disabled. There's only about 6 or 7 homes on our street that really need the backyard service, mm-hmm. or the back door service. I think if most everyone else, if they were aware of this, acutely aware of it, it could change in a short period of time.
Sure.
And so, maybe one of the strategies is to do it street by street or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm like Lionel. I apologize for what you've gone through. Question on the, I guess for Doug. I was listening pretty close. I guess I have 2 simple questions. If we were to take down the permanent loan sooner than later, what would the interest? It would be a fixed rate for either 30 or 40 years. What would that interest rate be?
We went to market today. It would be in the 3.754% range for double A credit. So one theoretical choice would be to lock in 4% or under for the next few decades. And like no one knows where interest rates are going. So what's the break even point with the savings the way we're headed? How high do rates have to go this time next year for this strategy not to work well?
I think what we underwrote when we did the ban was kind of the top end interest rate would be 5.5%. Right? I guess that kind of the number. So yeah, I mean, and we could fix at any point in time that we should choose, since there is no prepayment. And if there were differences in rates, I think we would also look at how much money we would go to pay down the ban versus financing it.
Yeah.
And then I think another trigger is we could, instead of doing it 30 years, look at a shorter term note with a lower interest rate, refinancing later. So there are some options to us. But I'd encourage folks to, hey, if you've got questions, we're going to talk about it in a couple weeks, to let us know. And yeah.
Will you be back in a couple of weeks?
I can't.
Yep. Okay. Give consideration to maybe take it down, splitting it in half, and taking down the permanent loan on half the balance now, and let the other half float for another year.
I think it's something we could talk about. That, you know, it's risking, it's the cost of doing it versus, and also I think another thing to take into consideration is the availability of the $1.2 million or so that we may need to use.
Thank you very much.
Too. But
yeah, there'd be, you know, dual cost of issuance doing it that way.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the bigger picture plan is you know, how these other financial dominoes are going to fall,
understand,
for the long term. So we don't want to lock in something for 20, 30 years and be in jeopardize our short term financial position and be stuck. That this year gap or this year float allows us that flexibility to better understand, so that we're not putting ourselves in a, well, interest rates might be higher or lower, it's not going to be jeopardizing the 30-year financial position. That this short-term solution allows us to better understand the long-term effects.
Okay.
Got it.
All right.
Well put.
Any other questions, comments?
No. No, there's nobody here.
Okay, and we're not going to have executive session. So, what's that?
No,
he's just excited.
We all are. We all are. So, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.